Night Flight Bernama Radio 24, very good evening to you, and thank you very much for staying with us at the lounge this evening. We talk about making that shift in your life. Most of us, you know, go through our lives doing the same job, wanting to make that move, always talking about it, but never doing it. Today, joining me in the studio is someone who's made that change at the age of 53 from being an accountant. He's made that change to doing what he wants to do. He's subsequently went on to do energy healing, and he's also a personal fitness trainer. And all this was done whilst he was an accountant. He took up these courses and progressed to making it into a career. Joining me in the studio is Tony Redknapp, and I know what you're thinking at this point. Well, all great men have great surnames. Tony, a very good evening to you, and thank you very much for joining us on Night Flight's Lounge. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here, firstly, and making that change from being an accountant. All of us, when we're in school, our parents always want us to be an engineer, a lawyer, or a doctor. Anything else does not work. But, you know, if you're not cut out for it, you end up doing what I do. But being an accountant and wanting to make that change, tell us about your life first as an accountant and what made you want to be an accountant and subsequently move on.
Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here too. What made me wanted to be an accountant? I didn't know. At that age, I was clueless as to what I wanted to do. The fact of the story was, I used to work at a fast food restaurant, finish work at 2 o'clock, wake up late in the morning. Just one morning, I woke up at about 10 o'clock, and I still remember this day as clear as daylight. I remember the chair I was sitting on. Mm-hmm. Open up the Star newspaper, and a leaflet fell out and says, do your A-levels. Now, I didn't have much of a clue as to what A-levels was, but I knew I had to do something with my life. And so I showed that to my mom and dad, and they said, okay, we'll pay for you. And went there. Did not know where it lead me to, and found some old friends there, and I said, woohoo. Yeah, good. Had some company. Did that. Eventually, I dropped out of accounting because we didn't like the lecturer. And a friend of mine said, we're not going to attend his classes because he's too cocky. And then we realized we couldn't do well in the other subjects. And we went back meekly. And he took the mickey out of us. And so we said, we need to teach this guy lessons. So we went and studied. We mugged. And we became top of the class. Not because I wanted to be good in accounting, because I wanted to teach this guy a lesson. So therein started my accounting career. So after that, I moved on, you know, into audit, and I worked in commercial accounting. And I guess a lot of this came from, I wasn't the person who was meant to be an accountant. Right? Growing up as a kid, I believe I was this happy-go-lucky, phlegmatic personality. All right? I had a strict father. I was conditioned that you have to do things in a certain way. My services were volunteered to my neighbor across the road, who was a retired headmaster and a woodwork teacher, very meticulous person. So from a young age, I was taught that everything had a system. Even mowing the lawn had a system. You had to box it out, section it out. And so
you're one of these people who are methodical about what they do.
Yes. So when I went into accounting, I said, oh, well, I can do that. So you mean everything goes into boxes? It's black or white. There's no shades of gray. There's no in between. I can do that. And I found that it was like a duck to water. And one thing after another, I was very creative. I never said no to any job. And, you know, I was very multi-skilled. Throughout my career, I worked as a human resource manager. I was an accountant. I was in operations. I was doing project management. What else was I doing?
You've done the works.
I've done the works. I've worked in every single level of management in an organization. Really, you know, as an accountant, was I good at what I did? Yes. I was. So why I went into accountancy, I don't know, I just floated along. Right. It was never hard for me to find a job. The jobs always found me.
At a certain point in your life, you made that move from being a Malaysian. You moved to Australia, became an Australian citizen. What was that like, making that change, being a Malaysian, being who we are? And, you know, when I say we're different, is the food we eat, we mix around with people, we're pretty different, or at least we think we are. Was it as different as we think it is when you made that move?
I guess for me, it was relatively easy. It was always in the pipe works. Just sat on it, moved too late. But it was scary, uprooting everything, going to Australia. But it was honestly, it was probably one of the best decisions I made in my life. My quality of life improved. you know, and over here in Malaysia, because the expectation is you still got to work till 9:30, 10:30, and if you left the office at even 7 in the evening, you get strange looks. Over there, it was a different culture. You know, at 4:30, my boss will ask me, why are you still in the office? Go home.
Mm-hmm.
I said, woohoo. You know, but it was still being me. There were times where I ended up in the office at 2 o'clock because the nature of my job, when you're doing budgets and forecasts, you deadlines, you got to finish it. So, you know, I did what I had to do, but then when it mattered, I took my time off and had my quality in life. So it wasn't a dramatic transition for me. It was beautiful.
Well, the reason I ask you this question is probably because if you were here in Malaysia knowing full well now that you've made a change in your life or change your career altogether at the age of 53, would you have done it had you been here in Malaysia?
Hard to say. It may have. I think it was always in me. Certain things had to happen. To me, in order for me then to make that realization, I think that's always, I believe our life path is set before us. It's nothing happens by mistake, nothing happens by coincidence, it is planned.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes life throws us certain challenges. If you look at it as a challenge, it becomes a challenge. And until that point where you realize it's not a challenge and it's an opportunity to improve or a lesson to be learned. And once you recognize that, you move on. So I guess to answer your question, if I was here, most likely the same thing would have happened. It would have been just a matter of timing.
When you go abroad or say in Australia, life is different from you, very much different. People are a little bit more laid back as compared to people within Kuala Lumpur. And there's one thing I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong here, at the age of 40, or once you've hit 40 in Malaysia, it's like, you know, I'm getting older, and I have to get ready to retire and slow things down. But it's not the case with people in Australia, you know. As they grow older, they put more challenges in front of them. What brings about that culture there? Why do you think we think like this here?
Well, look, I'm no psychologist, but... I guess at that age, if you look at the you know, development of the mind up to that stage, I guess we look at what have we achieved in our life. Let's call it the midlife crisis. At that point, we're searching for answers. We're searching for levels of achievement. And even people who have gone up to that, you know, level of achieve something, they're always looking for something else. And again, it depends on your perspective on life. For a long time, you know, most of us have been told, study hard, you know, work hard, go to school. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Go to school, you know, study hard, get a good job, get a good pay, and then you'll be happy. And a lot of us have actually gone through that. And then at the age of 30, 35, 40, you got the job, you got the money, but something is missing. Something is missing. And it's because we've all been conditioned to think that we needed something to happen in order for us to be happy. The truth is, and this is what I tell most of my clients, the peace and happiness that you want is already inside you. You do not need a job, you know, financial situation, or somebody else who's, you know, done it so-called good to tell you that you need this X, Y, Z to be happy. Today, I don't earn as much money as I used to in my previous job, having given up my previous job. But I'm very much a more content and a happier person. I've got less stress in my life. Very little bothers me today. Very little.
It makes me think that you feel young again because you're doing all these things. You're a personal trainer. You've done NLP. You do hypnosis, all these things, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. So, I mean, this has brought about, it's reinvigorated you, so to speak, thinking like when you were young, you know. So how did you go about doing that, not having to worry about, oh, how am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to pay the bills? How do you do away with these things?
I guess it's getting a different perspective on life. Now, you know, I'll answer your question this way. Now, you can walk out of your house and the clouds up in the sky, and you go, oh, John, it's cloudy, it's it's gonna be a real shitty day, you know. What happens is your physiology reacts in the way your shoulders droop, your head goes down, and your voice goes down. You elicit all that senses within you that are similar to being sad. Your brain goes and conquers. Yeah. You're feeling sad. You must be sad, and you make your own day, right? Now you throw your shoulders back and you go, wow, cloudy day, good. It's not gonna be hot, you know. A good shade, I like that, you know. And look, something, the wind may come and blow the clouds away, and you know, the day will get even brighter. Same situation, you chose to look at it differently. And at the end of the day, you've created a new reality. So the thing is, we create our own reality. You can decide how your life is going to turn out. Did I answer your question?
Right. As cliche as it sounds, you can make it happen. Yep. You have indeed made it happen. And you got into NLP first, subsequently moved into hypnosis, and then you do healing now. All these three things we want to talk about. But what made you get into NLP? Of all the things in the world, what made you get into NLP?
Yeah. Look, I guess it's my whole life. I was a certain personality. My environment, the conditioning around me, my perception of life made me into somebody that felt he needed to strive, he needed to prove himself. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of self-worth issues, a lot of inferiority complex, because I wasn't good enough. So that drove me to be the person that I needed to be. And that was good. That was a plus thing. Things needed to happen for me then to get that skill. Mm-hmm. But I guess my inner soul was looking for something else. Was I good at my job? I think I was pretty good at my job. I am pretty good at my job. Was I happy? Not entirely. I was very creative. I was always looking for new things. I had a passion for helping people. I had a passion for mentoring people, for coaching people. And I get drawn in that area. But unfortunately, I started helping people who did not want to be helped. I did not know how to deliver myself. I found myself getting caught into conflicts. And I found myself at two ends of the spectrum. I was either extremely happy or extremely sad, extremely hardworking or not working at all. So a lot of questions went through. And, you know, And this may sound pretty obvious to you, but going back maybe 18 years ago, I had a huge paradigm shift. Now, I was the kind of person you probably did not want to work with. You probably would not want to have me for a boss, because I had only one way of looking at things, my way. All right? You do a project, I'll plan everything, I'll do the thinking. I had a good heart. My intention was good. My aim was to get the best possible outcome. But I only looked at it from my point of view. So my staff would come and say, what about this? And I said, why would you want to do that? I've already thought about the best way. Why would you want to look at it any other way? So people found me a little bit difficult to work. And I was wondering, why? What's wrong with them? Didn't know the problem was me. Now, one fine day, I had a paradigm shift. And I went, oh, okay. So you mean that not everyone thinks the same way I do? Now, to most people, that's, hello, pretty obvious, isn't it? I had to get a hard knock on the head to realize that. Then my life started to shift. Mm-hmm. So it's always this little something. My soul was looking for something. I had to get something. And when I did my NLP certification, it was more for me initially. And that opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. I started changing. My view of the world changed. And I realized I had now had the tools to effectively continuing my passion of helping people, coaching people, mentoring people. I did that. I introduced that back into my job. My staff understood me better. I've had a lot of people who came back and told me, I know you're tough, but you were the best boss I ever had, or you're one of the best boss. The number of people have come back and told me that. For me, I felt, wow, good. Looking at the person I was, and somebody here come and tell me, you're one of the best bosses I ever had. You know? So it came to a stage where, you know, I felt I just needed to go. There's something I couldn't explain what it was. And the company that I worked for the largest equipment hire company in Australia. I was a finance manager for them. Pretty good. I was rated as the best finance manager in all their business units. So I was doing well. But they wanted to make people redundant. They wanted to downsize. I put my hand up. Within 3 minutes of the notice coming out, I sent my email out. And the moment I did that, I felt this sense of relief just leaving my leg. I was a different person after that. So, scary. I did not know what, where I was going, what I was going to do. But I went and pursued my other qualifications, certifications, and here I am.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and find out more about Tony Rutnam. He's a clinical hypnotherapist, an energy healer, a personal fitness trainer. Of course, the name of his company is Inner Alignment. We're going to find out what Inner Alignment is and why he chose that name when we come back. But think about this. He made the change in his life at 53. Yeah, this is not some multi-level marketing gimmick or something to that effect. But this man wanted to make a change, and he made that change at the age of 53. So he's got a lot of interesting things with regards to NLP, of course, hypnosis, and also healing to talk about. We're going to find out more from him when we come back, just after a short break, right here on Night Flight, Bernama Radio 24. This is The Lounge.